Good morning and welcome. We're so glad you're here this morning on this exciting day. Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, we're going to continue our series on the seven traits of a follower of Jesus Christ. And then Apostle Leon has a greeting for us this morning. And so lots in store today. And thanks for coming. And it's good to see Pastor Valerie from Ask of Me Ministries. Yeah, thanks for coming today, taking time out of your busy schedule. Let's give the Lord a praise for Pastor Val. She's a dear friend of mine and of the River of Life. So glad she's here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get started this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. And thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit today. Lord, as you're launching us forward today, God, we rejoice, Lord. We leave this place with joy and knowing, Father, we've finished our assignment and you say, well done. It's time to get to the north side of town. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord. Bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I had a pretty busy week, so you don't get a PowerPoint this morning. So how well can you listen? Can you listen up? I got you all spoiled. You're used to getting notes. You're used to having a PowerPoint. And so I told you everything was changing, right? We're going to work on that for next week when we're at the hotel. But we'll see what happens. Because we're praisers, right? We come together to pray and to praise and to seek God's face. And his truth for us, his present truth. What is your revelation to us today? He's got fresh bread every morning. Hallelujah. So we've covered the traits of a follower is centered, changing, challenged, committed, connected, and consistent. And today we're going to look at consecrated. And this is a really good lesson for today as we're moving forward. We're consecrated by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And grace refers to receiving something we don't deserve. Gabe was just talking about that. It's receiving something we don't deserve, like an unearned favor. While mercy means we're not receiving the punishment we do deserve. Okay, so grace is giving, while mercy is it's taking away the punishment that would be due to us. And often, in the context of God's actions towards humans, grace is bestowing blessings. And mercy is reframing from judgment. Does that make sense? His mercy is new every morning. Aren't we thankful for that? It's new every morning. He forgives us and does not release the judgment we deserve. Hallelujah. So grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve, and mercy is when God doesn't give you something you do deserve. And so just keep that in mind. And to be consecrated is to be set apart. It's dedicated to service or to worship. And in the Bible, consecration is the act of separating yourself from unclean things and dedicating yourself to God. And it's a key practice that involves aligning our lives with God's will. So the meaning of consecration is a commitment to God and his interests and his purposes. So we're committing to what's on God's heart. I remember years ago preaching a message on, the Lord said, people need to lay down their opinions and their preferences to receive my will and to follow what I have for them. Because we all have opinions, we all have preferences, there's certain things that we like, there's certain things that we want to do, but when it comes to fulfilling the plan and the will of God, it's all about what he wants. And you know, many of us are strong-willed, hallelujah. And so God has to work on us a little extra hard You know, sometimes he hits some of you over the head with a 2x4 so you'll get it. And others he can just whisper gently to, and you're crushed in your heart, and it's like, oh, Lord, I didn't know that. So, you know, he deals with us the way we need to hear it. You know, I'm not going to ask who he talks directly to. I think I have an idea. But when he talks to me, he just tells me how it is. And if he says, Janet, Janet, I know I'm really in trouble. Hallelujah. So consecration, it's a personal initiative to focus on what matters to God and what concerns him. We have to train our minds to do that. Somebody say amen. Because our soul will work in opposite of often of what's best for us. And it's a total surrender to God's will. And you know, so many times we'll say, I surrender all, I surrender all. Have you ever sang that song? But you know you really haven't. Have you known that in your heart too? It's like you'll find out that week after you sing that song, everything you haven't surrendered yet. God just gently pulls back the covers, hallelujah, and begins to point things out in our life. And we're glad he does that. Are we glad he does that? At the time, it's like, ugh. But we know he knows the best. I often think of the show, if you remember the program years ago, Father Knows Best. Father knows best. He knows best. He knows exactly what's going on in our heart. And what always amazes me is God has still loved me through it all. And when you see yourself, the things that are going on in your heart that you didn't even know were there, it's just, thank you, God, for loving me through all of this. Because he saw it all the time. But at the right time, he shows us what he wants to work on. That's part of consecration. Just walking through that process. So it's a serious commitment to respond to God's grace. To respond to his grace. We respond to him. He's giving us a free gift. And he gives us grace every day. It's what we don't deserve. We don't deserve it. But so thankful that we have a loving God that's full of grace and mercy. You know, in the scripture, you see grace and mercy. They're usually linked together. And so it's a way, consecration is a way to enjoy the riches of God's salvation. There is so much wrapped up in that word salvation, sozo. There are so many benefits when you serve the Lord God Almighty. And in his salvation, it's free. There's healing in salvation. There's deliverance in salvation. There's restoration in salvation. There's that whole process of renewing our mind and growing and changing. I'm going to read to you Romans 12, 1 through 2. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. And it says, the title of it in the Passion is The Transforming Power of the Gospel. And it goes like this. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred, living sacrifices and live in holiness. Experience all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. This is the place God wants to get us to. In the New King James, it's present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. I like the way the Passion says it because it's a total reformation of how we think. Every day, our thinking should be changing. Our thought life should be changing and coming into alignment with the will of God. How many of you notice a difference in the way you think? You know, it should be continual because God wants us to be a peaceable people. He wants us to live in love. That is the highest energy, our frequency, is to live in love. God is love, and we're His kids, so we're love, right? And that energy that comes from the Spirit of the living God, which is the Spirit of love, love conquers all, love covers a multitude of sin. It's just saying it a little bit different because you feel that in your heart when the Lord begins to love through you. Amen? Amen. And aren't you thankful? Because in that situation 4 or 5 years ago, you would not have been very loving. And we call it not being your best self. If you're your best self, you're responding the way God would respond, even though it's difficult and it's difficult people. Hallelujah. Love. God is love. And so we're His kids, and so we should be love also. And so living and experiencing what delights His heart. You know, God wants to give us good and perfect gifts. It all comes down from the Father above. And so we've got to break those limiting beliefs that are in our minds because we limit what God can do by our own thinking. Have you ever done that? You know, you know God wants to do something miraculous in your life, but you limit God by your own thinking. It's that doubt thing that comes in, which I did a lot of study on doubt. Doubt is a root that gets into our life, and it causes us to waver back and forth, back and forth. And God wants us to be totally sold out to Him, surrendered, yielded, and that's what consecration is. Lord, I consecrate my life to You. You have to do it every day. And you might even need to do it during the day. Lord, I surrender to You. And just talk to the Lord and talk to yourself. You know, people say don't talk to yourself and don't answer your own questions. Hallelujah. They'll come get you for doing that. But we all do it anyway, right? Goes on inside our head. Sometimes you just got to get it out of your mouth because life and death is in the tongue. And I can't tell you how important it is that you do not speak negative over your situations and you do not speak negative over other people and over what's going on in your life because that negativity has power and it is set in motion. Right? Whatever is set in motion, there has to be something to counteract that to bring that back. I've been around people that are so negative and they say so many negative things and it's like they give me so much work to do because then I've got to pray and I've got to begin to decree and declare and to call that back and to release what God is saying about that situation because God will bring every situation to the highest possible outcome. He is on everybody's side. You might not like that person, but God loves that person, and He wants their situation to reach the highest possible outcome. And that is maturity in Christ, and that is what God is calling us to be. They will know we are Christians by the love we have for one another. And when we have that love flowing through us, there is the love of God. There is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God attracts people that love is what draws. It's the light. It's like a magnet. And that's what God wants us to be in this season. God has taken us to another level and He's putting a greater demand upon us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, this is also the Passion Translation. It says this. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God. And in this chapter, he was teaching about immorality. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is a sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you. When you defile someone else or you're immoral with someone else, that is the temple of God. We have got to have a new mindset about purity and sexuality and morality. There needs to be a cleansing in our minds so that we walk pure. We can't do anything about the world and everything that goes on out there, but you can do something about you. Tell your neighbor you can do something about you. And the only person you can control is you. You can't control anybody else, but with the help of God, you can control you. And remembering, hey, this body right here, this is a temple. This is a temple. I remember getting the revelation before we ever planted a church. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And wherever there is a temple with the Holy Spirit, there is worship that goes on. And so we developed a phrase, have temple, we'll travel. Because God wants that worship to be out in the community. Hallelujah. We are the temple. First Peter, this is identifying you. We need to know our identity. We are praisers. We pray, we praise, and we seek the face of God. That's who we are. That's in our roots. It's in our foundation. And he says this, he says, but you are a chosen generation. Now think about it. This is God speaking to us. He is declaring we're chosen. We're a royal priesthood. Remember, we studied in Hebrews a couple years ago. We bring those spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord because we are all called to be priests unto God. And when we come together, we bring spiritual sacrifices to the Lord and we form a habitation for the Spirit of the Almighty God to abide in. We are lively stones. And he puts us together. And it doesn't matter how many they are. If we come in and we begin to praise him and pray, God shows up and he manifests his presence in our lives and in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. So we are a holy nation. We're the nation of God. You know, we're the church race. You've probably heard Bishop teach on that. We are the church race. Yes, we do speak in tongues. That is the tongue and the language of the kingdom of God. And so when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we're praying in kingdom language. We're releasing the will of God to come into the earth realm by praying by the Holy Spirit. It's not just gibberish. It's not something that's made up. I got baptized with the Holy Spirit when I was 13, and I've been praying in tongues for many, many years. Some people said, you shouldn't do that. You need to stop that. People don't like that. Well, you know what? God loves it. It's the language of the kingdom. And we've laid hands on people in several nations, and we've heard them speak in tongues. And you know what? It all sounds similar. You know, it is one tongue. We are one race. We are one nation. We are one people. Doesn't matter where we come from. Doesn't matter where our ethnic group is. God says we're one and we are all on the same level before the throne of God. There is nobody better than anybody else. Hallelujah. God gives gifts to people, and if he gives you gifts, then you're responsible for your gifts. And people get jealous of other people's gifts. And I'm so thankful over the years, God has weeded out all of that. There is no competition in this group. We are not competing with each other. We just want to get to Jesus. It's like that woman that just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. You know, that's who we are. We just want to get to Jesus, and we want our brothers and sisters to get to Jesus. There's no competition in this house because we just don't allow the politicking to go on. And so when you don't allow that, then it goes away, because if you can't do your work, if they can't work it, then they'll leave. And that's fine, because we want peace. We want the peace of God that passes understanding. We are for each other. If you're not sold out for the body of Christ and one another, then pray that God gets you to that place. Because we should do good to the household of faith. You know, the scripture says to prefer one another, right? It's not about competing. Yesterday, I really enjoyed watching all of the interaction. I'm a behavioral consultant, and I enjoy watching how people work. And I really didn't assign anyone to specific leadership roles because I knew when they came in, that's the way it would happen. You know, they would just take over. And you saw that. You saw the leaders rise to the top because that's just the way it happens. The gifts, what's the scripture say? God makes room for the gifts. Your gift will make room for you. And it was just fun to watch people all work together and see how people fall into place. And we had an army of people here, people that we were not real close to, but Alpha brought three young men, and Ashley's sons came. They wouldn't let me carry nothing. I would try to pick something up, and they'd come over and just take it right away from me. And there was just so many people here, and it was fun. It was so, I mean, I really enjoyed the interaction of all the families and the people coming in, and they came in to serve, and they were just waiting for someone to tell them what to do. So we have leaders that start telling them what to do. If you're looking for a job, we'll give you one. Hallelujah. But we are God's people. It says his own special people. We've got to see ourselves the way God sees us. We are a special people. You know, the world would try to make you feel like you're less than because you're a Christian, or like there is something wrong with talking about Jesus and believing in him. But you know what? He is the answer, and his word is the change agent. You can go to the best psychiatrist, the best therapist, and I have nothing against the best psychiatrist and the best therapist and the best medical doctor. But if Dr. Jesus doesn't show up on your behalf, nothing's going to happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe he gave people gifts, even in the natural, to bless the body of Christ. We don't have to be afraid of doctors, psychiatrists, a therapist, because Dr. Jesus, he's on the job. And sometimes he'll just need to connect you with someone who can get you through the hump, who knows what to do in the natural. I always tell people, doctors, and they're like so intelligent, that just doesn't just happen. That's a gift. And recognizing those gifts and praying for that physician. So I'm getting way off here, but I'm just telling you, God uses everybody to benefit the body of Christ, his church, because we're special. We're special. We're special. We don't have to be afraid of any of that. I think sometimes Christians walk in so much fear of things of the unknown because we don't understand all that. We're not going to understand everything that the doctor understands. I have relatives in our family that are nieces and nephews that are doctors. I'm telling you, they are so smart. I don't understand everything they're talking about. And some of their stories are hilarious. Hallelujah. But, you know, one of them is a forensic pathologist. And so some pretty amazing stories. Solves how people died. Loved working in New York because there's lots of dead people and unknown causes of death. But isn't that interesting that God gave her that desire to do that? Why? Because it's needed. It's needed to benefit people. God has given us all gifts and talents to benefit people in the natural realm and in the spirit realm. And the two work together. And God is sending his people out in the marketplace. Hallelujah. Sharp instruments to be used by God. Not only to do their craft and their skill, but also to share from the Spirit of the Lord. And we'll go on. So it says, we're a chosen people, his own special people, that we may what? Proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Hallelujah. So examples in the Bible of a consecrated person, the main example would be Abraham. And we've talked a lot about Abraham over these last months, especially because of the move that we are in. And also the Levites were consecrated to the Lord. They were the priests before the Lord and very consecrated. And the Hebrew children, they devoted their fields, they consecrated them, they consecrated the cattle, they consecrated firstborn to God, and Christians are regarded as being consecrated to the Lord. And if you remember when in the temple, they anointed everything with oil. Why? Because it's consecrated, set apart, anointed for God. God has anointed us with the Holy Spirit. That's our oil. You know, your lamp's got to be full, trimmed and burning bright. And the oil is from the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. So this morning, we're excited that Praisers Ministries Incorporated is beginning another chapter. And Apostle Leonard and I are co-founders of Praisers. And you might as well put Vanessa in that gift, Pastor Vanessa, because we started when she was 16 years old, and she has been by our sides from the very beginning. So she knows the role in the ministry that goes on and everything that's been in the background. But remembering that God is doing a new thing, and I'm looking forward to watching it spring forth. How about you? I mean, that's what Isaiah says. It's going to spring forth. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Not that we're not going to think about and be thankful for all of the foundation that God has laid, all of the work that Praisers has done, but we've got to realize that this has been our training ground, and God is launching us into the new, and it will spring forth. So we are going to have a special greeting from Apostle Leon this morning. But before we go there, I want to just read one more time the word of the Lord that was spoken over the ministry regarding what's happening right now. And that was spoken in 2014. And it says, I am opening your sights even higher in ways you have never dreamed, says the Lord. Now listen, it would probably scare you if I said that the place that you are is not the place you will always be. I really don't believe this is the building you are always going to be in. But I believe this is the building you are going to grow in and sow in and go to a new level in. But I just see that God is going to do something that's going to be brand new. It's going to be state of the art and be a whole new part and a whole new vision, says the Lord. I always want your sights to be higher. I always want your sights to be looking forward. So Apostle Leon is going to share a greeting this morning. And we're going to talk just a little bit about that. And then we'll close.
This morning is to greet you and to share this tremendous opportunity and vision and purpose that God has laid out before us, amen, as a family. And it's a joyous and challenging time of transition for the river, amen.
Can you turn it up in the house?
And, I can recall the Sunday morning a couple years ago when while I was ministering that I heard the word of the Lord bubble up in my spirit that was saying that this was not going to be the place for the final home of the river. And I remember being frightened within myself and just hoped that the word would be received and that in God's timing, amen, everything would work right and would prove to be an accurate word, amen. And when Apostle Dr. Janet shared with me last year, amen, that in her time of sabbatical and getting alone with God and fasting and prayer, amen, that God was moving upon her and within her about selling the building after hearing the prophetic word of the Lord. And it released a real ring in my spirit that God was moving in the river and moving the river to a new birthing canal or a birthing channel. And this was going to be like all brand new. And I remember the excitement in my own spirit about moving forward, knowing that even when you move forward, there's always challenges, amen? So I want to encourage our church families, our leadership teams, our directors, and that just like Abraham, apostles, Dr. Janet and Leonard Cook are launching into the deep, amen, as they did over 25 years ago, amen, to birth the vision of Praisers Ministries and then the river amen, that would cut new banks for the river of God to flow through, amen, for such a time as this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and let me just hit that real quick for you. All of you know these scriptures by heart, but 11 verse 8, it said, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, amen, he went into the land of promise as into a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and with Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Amen. And so he waited for the city. He waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Wow. What a bold faith. Amen. To hear the prophetic word of the Lord and have that sensing in your spirit, and then to step out by faith and begin to move to that next place. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, you've read this many times. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation." Listen to these blessings. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your enemies, your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Amen. And he went with him. At that time he was 75 years old. So, amen, when the word comes, there has to be an activation of faith to begin to move on that word. Amen. I want to encourage our families, our leadership teams, our directors, amen, that this is a time that God says we're moving forward. Amen. And I want to recognize the quality of our leadership that has been raised up at the river over these past years. Amen. To facilitate this transition. Transition means moving to that next level or going to that next place, amen, which could require rebranding, changing of some things. He said, because your future will demand more of you than your past. So I believe that God is preparing you, polishing you, buffeting you, chipping away, amen, to get us out of the place we've been in and in reposition, amen, for this new season. And I want to commend our prophetic pastor, Vanessa, amen, for her unwavering sensitivity to hearing the voice of the Lord, amen, and for being a visionary leader that she is. I always see her protecting the flock and watching out for the vision and anything that belongs to God without asking for anything in return. Vanessa, you are a good shepherd, amen, and a good pastor. You fulfill what Jesus was speaking about to the apostles when they had, inquiry with Jesus about who would be the greatest, who could sit on one side or on the other side. And Jesus' response to them was, "The greatest among you will be those that are the most willing to serve among you." And I've seen that servant heart ministry and projected through Pastor Vanessa. Amen. So God bless you. Dr. Janet, you're so bold and unwavering with acting on the word of the Lord and walking it out by faith. Amen. And always with the spirit of excellence. And Apostle Leonard, you've been like a rebar in the foundation that kept stabilization. Amen. To successfully walk out the word of the Lord. Now, here we all are here today, this morning, amen, bound together as a strong threefold cord, amen, that is not easily broken. And so there will always be challenges whenever you step out by faith, whenever you begin to pioneer new territory. But what you do is you keep persevering until you break through. And that has been a quality of Praiser's ministry here at the river, amen, of not giving up. That's why we've been here for all the years that we've been here. In Genesis 26, 25 through 33, you have the account of Isaac being put outside of the city by jealousy of the king. The Bible says that they begin to uncover the wells or redig the wells of Jacob. And the Bible says that the first three wells that they uncovered, there was like contention or bickering, or there was that battling for or wanting to possess. But you know what? There was a fourth well. Amen. And the Bible says that they launched out and they dug that fourth well. Brand new well, brand new spot. Amen. Brand new day. The Bible says that that well was theirs. Amen. And it caused me to reminisce about Praiser's Ministries and the river, how that we had our beginning ministry. That would have been a well one. And then we was in the theater down in Elkhart, and that was well number two. And then we drilled well number three here, what has been known as the river. Amen. But now we're getting ready to drill that well number four. Amen. And that's going to be ours. That is going to be the place where God says, this is where I was trying to get you to all the time. The Bible says that Isaac named that fourth well. It was named Sheba. Amen. Which means seven or perfection. Amen. So as we move on, we'll dig another well that will be perfect for fulfilling the full vision with new branding of Praiser's Ministries to make kingdom impact in Elkhart, Indiana, contiguous cities, states, and nations. Amen. So God bless all of you as you launch into the deep. And on behalf of Bishop Bill Hammond, the Christian National Apostolic Network, and the Heartland Region of Ministers, amen, we congratulate you and we send you to fulfill your vision for Elkhart, Indiana. God bless you. We support you. We're behind you. We're there for you in the name of the Lord.
Amen. And that will be on our YouTube channel if you want to go back and listen to that again. But I'm just so thankful. You hear what he said? They're sending us. Sent ones. There's a big difference. Each phase of our ministry, we have been sent to do the next thing. It's a big, it is very important in the spirit realm when you are sent and you don't just go. Hallelujah. There's a covering when you're sent. So we're moving to the next level. Did you enjoy that? We're persevering. Whenever you begin to pioneer new territory, what you have to do is keep persevering until you break through. And that's been a quality of Praiser's Ministry. I wasn't going to give up on that video. Come on. Sometimes you got to wait on things. You know, in our culture, we like things to be done very quick. Yeah, let's just get it done. I knew Jeff and Aaron could figure that out. By the wisdom of God, right? Right. Sometimes you got to wait for some good things. And that's such a good word. Apostle Leon took that time out. But perseverance means steadfastness and endurance in faith and practice, even when facing trials, temptations, and difficulties. It essentially refers to the act of not giving up on your commitment to God despite the challenges, and is often described as a key aspect of the Christian life, powered by God's grace. All right, there's that word grace again. Powered by God's grace and the Holy Spirit's work within a believer. Are you ready to persevere? Are you ready to push through? Hallelujah. Like I said, we want things to come easy, but they don't always come easy. And I remember when we transitioned downtown, we owned the theater and we bought the three-story historical building next to it. And we loved that building and we totally restored it, top to bottom, did all the woodwork, did everything, plumbing, drywalling. I mean, God has sent in such quality people to do so much work and restored that building. And we wanted to connect the building to the theater. And so when we went to the city architect said, well, you're going to have to hire an architect from Indianapolis. And he was telling us how much it was going to cost and how long it was going to take. And you know what? We took that to the Lord in prayer because we knew what the Spirit of the Lord had said. The Lord said those two buildings were supposed to be connected, that there was a breakthrough when those buildings would connect. We took that to the Lord in prayer, and within a month, the city had called us back and said, you know what, you can just go ahead and open up that wall and connect those two buildings. I'm telling you, that is God. That is God's supernatural provision for this ministry. When he says a word and we put our heart to it, we're going to do it. And it's just like with this new addition at the end of this building. We knew that God wanted us to put up that new addition, to tear down the old one and to put up something new. Well, we didn't have the money. Look around. We didn't have the money to do that. But what God did was he brought in Walgreens, who wanted to buy that property, and they paid a whole lot more for that than probably what the value of it was really worth. But you got to see that store, God brought that store in to fund what we needed to do. A $1.8 million project. Yes, from the purchase of Walgreens on that corner. Have you ever heard of such a thing? See, this is what God does. That is the energy or the anointing. We call it the anointing, but it is an energy that attracts. And they came in on that same energy line, that anointing, to do that by the Spirit of the living God. And it's really interesting. We are moving, and so are they. Come on. Come on, that is a supernatural. We've got to begin to see with spirit eyes what God is doing and how he supernaturally provides for us. If we'll just say yes, 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 Lord, and we hear from God, I always take it to oversight, to those over me, and as when they say yes, Lord, too, hey, it is all We're all in it. We're in it to win it. Hallelujah. Because we know God will break through and make a way. And I know he'll do that. I loved how he gave us the analogy of digging the wells. And I want you to go back and listen to that. Because, you know, when we first started Praisers, we were working out in the community in different churches. And we had 13 different churches represented in our group. And that was for prophetic praise and worship. And we taught the arts, prophetic arts, the dancing, the flags, the banners, all of that was seed that we sowed into this territory and teaching how to hear the voice of the Lord and how to meet face with face with God. That's who we are. We want to be in God's face. We want God's face in our face. Hallelujah. That's the only way to live. That's the only way to live. And it's not that we're super spiritual and we act that way, you know, and we're getting other people's faces about that stuff. But when you have the love and the joy of God, it attracts people. It attracts people. And when you've been with God, it's just like Moses. When he was with God up on the mountain, when he came back, the people could tell it. They said, Moses, cover your face. You know, we can't even look at you. You know, the glory of God, that is what God has called us to do. He is calling us to a higher level, a greater commitment. And as we walk in his ways, he will do the rest. We don't have to worry about it. He told me, don't get bogged down in the details. I can get bogged down in the details to figure it all out because I want to know what my next step is. Well, he has taught me through this whole process. He's got it. He's got the next step, and when we wait on him, he's going to bring it to us. So we're really excited. We did put in an offer on an office building, a headquarters for Praisers Ministries, and all of that has been worked through, and we've got our building, hallelujah, and so we'll close on this building one day, and then close on that the same day. And so the building is for the office administration, for counseling, for discipleship. We can have small groups in it. It's not big enough to house a church, but praise God, we've got the Fairfield Inns. We'll go up there for Sunday morning service, and then we'll be in our office administration building every day. And so you can stop by and see us. And I don't know if you were able to load that. You were. Okay. There's no volume with it. But this is a look at the building. Now, it's not as pristine as they make it look in videos. I've been looking at it, and Elder Ron, you know those light fixtures that are on the ceiling, in some places they're totally gone. Like it's just it's interesting how they edit these. But it's a beautiful place. But I'm just telling you, they've got it with the cameras. They can take out so many things, and there's the examination beds are not in the rooms. This was a doctor's office, and they had it advertised as a doctor and dental office. And when we saw it, we said, well, this is perfect for counseling and consulting and coaching, and different practitioners have already contacted us about the possibility of using a room, a consultation room, when they have clients in Elkhart. Just, you know, they have 3 or 4 appointments in a day, and they would just come in, use a room, and that's another way to facilitate income, to use the building well. And actually, those of you that know Elkhart, this was Dr. Randy Cooper's office. He's a podiatrist. And so if you were in Randy's office, it didn't look like this when he owned it. Another doctor bought it, totally remodeled it in 2022, and never moved in. So he must have remodeled it for us. Hallelujah. That's the way I just look at it. Because God will set you up to succeed when you say, yes, Lord. So you can see there are several rooms. And this is the main floor. And pretty soon they'll take us downstairs. And in the lower level, I don't like to say basement, but down in the lower level will be mine and Pastor Vanessa's office. There's 2 offices down there, and we're looking forward to that because we don't have this big building to take care of. We can get into study and prayer, which is what we're supposed to be doing, not being landlords. Hallelujah. Oh. So, and that's the main bathroom. And so we're going to cut through. My administration staff is very excited about their new location. And Carol has seen it. And that would be my office. And then some of that furniture we had taken out because it didn't look that good, believe me. They just shined up that desk. And so this is a break area for us. And we were laughing because they did leave a washer and dryer. And I said, oh, awesome, we can multitask and do our laundry at the same time. There is some good storage down there. And the accounting wanted to make sure there was a room that locked to store some of our files. We can put a lock on one of those doors in that area. And you know what was really neat when we went to look at it? Originally, this building was two offices, and that's Pastor Vanessa's office. But originally, it was 2 doctors working out of there, and they wanted to just make it one building for one doctor. And so they had to have the electrical all redone. So when we went to look at the building, Ron was in the electrical part of it because he went with us, and he found his original signature on the electrical work was done. He did that building. I said, just look at that, come full circle. And that was actually when Aaron was born, or right before Aaron was born. Is that right, Elder Ron? Yeah. And so that's how many years ago. But Ron rewired that building, and he seemed to know where to look for everything in that building. And Ron had fun exploring. And so there's work to do. There's repairs to be made. But we're just so thankful God gave it to us at a good price. We're going to be able to afford to do that. And so we close on that the same day we close on the building here. So we'll get all that ordered and working. But it'll probably be a good 2 months before we're really ready to roll in there, because that's just how long it takes. Is that right? But we're really excited. And I'm going to release Praise Team to come. And they're going to lead us in a song called Lead Us, Good Shepherd. Lead on, Good Shepherd. Last week I said that's our theme song in this season. Right? Lead on, Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want any good thing. There will be no lack in our house. Hallelujah. And so, as they're getting situated, let's just give the Lord a praise and thank Him today. I am so excited. I've had so many people come up and say, oh, how are you doing? And I'm just like, I am great. My assignment is done in this area, and I am so thankful for everything God has blessed us with. I mean, He has really spoiled us all along the way with what He's blessed us with to do ministry with. And you know what? He's not going to stop that. You know, this is something that I'm so looking forward to, the next building. And so we'll be saving and raising money to do that. We're not going to walk away with enough money just to build a building or buy a building. So once again, you know, we're going to trust God to bring in that provision as we move forward, and He will lead us on. So at this time, Brother Jeff.